Today marks the first Sunday of Lent. It marks, we had this past week Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday marks the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. And the 40 days helps us remember the 40 days during which Jesus was taken out into the wilderness and resisted temptation. In the wilderness, this experience allows us to get kind of a sense of what kind of situations arise when temptations can overcome us, as well as how to resist temptation. And we can use Jesus' experience in the wilderness to examine what those features are and how they can play out in our lives today. Immediately after he was baptized, Jesus was whisked away to the wilderness for 40 days. Doesn't tell us in Mark for why, but the general consensus is he went to pray to become to get closer to God. In the desert, he was tempted, and he was tempted by three things. He was tempted by food. Satan came to him and asked him to turn the rocks into bread so that he could eat. Jesus was hungry at the time. This was a temptation. He resisted it. The second temptation was to throw himself off of a cliff because the angels would attend to him. Engage in some high-risk behavior. Jesus, come on. People will take care of you. It's all right. You'll be okay. So it compromised, potentially compromised his safety. He resisted that temptation. And the third temptation was of power. Look at everything that's before you. I will give it to you all. And again, Jesus resisted. And he resisted because even though Satan, who's fairly smart, knew Scripture, Jesus knew Scripture a little bit better. And so he was able to work his way through that. And so this provides us with a general framework to understand temptation. The first thing that we have to know is that we are only tempted in the face of some larger purpose. So there's a big picture. There's a greater purpose or aim. In Jesus' case, it was to be close to God and to obey God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Temptation is an alternate activity, a secondary activity, whose purpose is to entice and to distract. And generally speaking, temptations have power because they offer instant gratification. It's a short-term win. Oh, come on, you can do this. It'll feel good. The ability to delay gratification is the ability to resist temptation. So to resist temptation requires somebody to see beyond the instant gratification to the larger purpose, the bigger picture, the greater aim, and to keep focused on that. And to resist the short-term reward, that short-term gain, the instant gratification offered by the secondary activity, the temptation, requires discipline. It requires keeping the greater purpose in mind. It requires staying the course, looking past the temptation. Jesus was able to look past temptation because when he was tempted, he was able to see beyond the short term and look to the long term. The theme this year in chapel has been spirituality in this digital age. And it seemed to me as I was thinking about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness that it provides a really nice model for understanding how we can apply this in our lives today. Because technology allows a lot greater access to information, to entertainment, to connection with other people. It offers everything, a wide variety of things, instantly. And for many of us, it's right here on our phone, right? It buzzes all the time, it rings all the time. Oh my goodness, am I missing something? I've got to check my text, my email, my Twitter. I'm following people on Snapchat and Instagram. All of it is very instant, and we're distracted from some of our the big picture, by the instant gratification offered by technology. What is that bigger picture that we're distracted by? Well, like Jesus, who went to the wilderness to pray and to get closer to God, what the scriptures tell us in Mark 12, if we go a little bit further, and in Matthew 22, is that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Just as a little aside, one of my favorite parts of this particular verse is that it says to love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. It doesn't say love God with all your heart and soul and check your mind at the door because only idiots can believe it because it's not believable. So there is questioning to be had. God can take it. Ask questions. Believe in God with, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Having accepted that as the larger framework, the bigger picture, the larger purpose, general larger purpose in life, and accepting that spirit to live within you produces fruit. And in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that the fruits of the Spirit, once this acceptance of God and the ability to love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, this is expressed through a number of fruits of the Spirit. How can you tell if somebody's got that bigger picture in mind? Just take a look at how they live. What are their actions? And their lives should be characterized by 9 things. And the fruits of the Spirit are, and I don't know if you've learned the song, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And so this is the bigger picture that we're called to live towards and express as we live our daily lives. We become tempted when secondary activities, with much more immediate and instant gratification distract us from that primary purpose. Technology being one of them. I've been involved with an initiative on campus over the last number of years with James to create a culture of a moderation in terms of alcohol consumption. And one of the things that we know from personal experience, but as well from the information, the feedback we get from the surveys is when alcohol is consumed beyond modification, when that temptation, oh, come on, just have one. One smells like 3, nobody will tell. When you give into that temptation, it's going to taste all right. You're going to be okay. Beyond moderation, you start to see behaviors that counteract or contradict those 9 fruits of the Spirit. People don't tend to be that kind after a while. They're not gentle. They don't show love. There's a lot of harms that come from alcohol consumption beyond moderation. And that's allowing yourself to give in to temptation and be distracted from your larger purpose, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So how do we resist these things? Well, it seems to me that in Jesus' case, he knew Scripture. He knew what his purpose was, and he was armed with some quick counters to the temptations that he found. He was able to refocus himself from the immediate short-term gain to the bigger picture. And so it seems to me that knowing the purpose, knowing that bigger picture, having time to reflect on your behavior and how it fits in with that bigger picture, understanding what the temptations that you have are, we all have temptations, it's a matter of understanding what they are, when they occur, having time to reflect on those and trying again. Unfortunately for us, we are not like Jesus. We all have sinned. We came born into a world of sin, so we have to try again. The season of Lent reminds us of the need for spiritual reflection, this ability to reflect on our lives to make sure it matches the fruits of the Spirit. For many people, they give up a vice during Lent. You may have given up something during Lent as a test of discipline. Right? And that's what Lent allows itself for, to establish discipline. I've always thought that this misses the mark just a little bit. And I've thought it misses the mark because, for me, resisting the urge to eat chocolate or to eat chips or to refrain from alcohol consumption or any of these things does nothing to reconnect to your greater purpose. It is a show of discipline, but discipline for what? Why? If you've given up something, what my hope is that every time you're tempted, that short-term gain enters your mind. Instead of just feeling good about resisting the temptation, hopefully the temptation serves as a reminder of what the bigger picture is, what the greater purpose is. If you haven't given anything up, and I typically don't during Lent, if you haven't given anything up, it doesn't mean you're hopeless. What I hope is that you can still understand what your temptations are. Put your technology aside, turn it off, and for a moment each day, reflect. And just to reflect on how you've lived out your day and how the fruits of the Spirit may or may not have been lived out through your actions that particular day. And I think these two things, either if you've given something up and having those temptations as a reminder, or setting aside time to reflect on how you've lived your life, is a way of spiritual discipline, which is, again, as I would suggest, what the first Sunday of Lent really lends itself to.